fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. A helper ye amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Good morning and welcome to today's worship service of Central Congregational Church of Attleboro Falls. My name is Wayne Netney. I'm the chair of the deacons. We are also joined here today by Dave Valario, our music director, and Pastor Glenn Roundsville, who is our youth minister. This is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost and a lovely day in August here. Pastor Glenn, could you please call us to worship?
The Spirit of the Lord fills the whole world, and we rejoice. The righteous are joyful and delight in the Lord. They are excited and shout for joy. As we enter worship, we praise you. Amen. Teach us your way, O Lord, and we will walk in your truth. Give us undivided hearts that we may fear your name. We will praise you with all our hearts and glorify your name as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Glenn. Today we have a mission moment, which we'll call on Martha McCatten, please, to introduce it.
Good morning. Our July mission for the backpacks, you donated $385. So we supplemented that with money from the bequest and sent them $500. So thank you, everybody. That was good. It's a good cause. It's local. And so that was great. Our August mission is Scripture Union. And we have shown a clip once before, but we thought we'd show it again. This is an organization that brings Bible reading to people who may not be aware of the Bible, and for anybody, you know. And there was they've had a virtual Bible school the last 2 years too, which anyone was welcome to join. So if Wayne will just,
I shall
take it away. Thanks.
Scripture Union is a global movement. It's a movement of people who want to make God's good news known to children, young people, and families, and to help people of all ages to meet God through the Bible and prayer. And we do that in a variety of ways throughout the world in over 120 different countries.
Primetime is a faith-based after-school program where Scripture Union partner with churches and organizations such as the Salvation Army, and we have these programs in the schools and in community centers or anywhere that children are gathered where we can have a meeting with them. And we call it prime time because we wanted to meet the kids at a prime time of the day when before their parents get from work and they're home from school, we can have a safe environment. We teach them God's love and help them in different areas, maybe homework club, sports, whatever activities. And most of the children who come to primetime are not affiliated with a church. They're not used to going to church. So we want to provide a safe environment for them where they learn the love of God and how to live it out in their life.
Super Kids is a program that goes out where kids are naturally. We go to playgrounds and beaches, and we want kids to experience the Bible for themselves. In my experience as a teacher in public school, I found that kids had no idea what the word God meant. I had kids in my classroom trying to figure out what the word prayer meant, literally. They're sitting on the bus, sitting on the floor trying to figure it out. And they think Jesus is a swear word. So one of the things I want them to come out with and what the churches would want them to come out with is that that Jesus was a real person, that he really interacted with people, he had a relationship with people, that he had power, he had love.
We want to reach children who've never been in a church, and we want to give children who are in the church the ability to take their faith with them through their whole lives. It's a new world than it did even 20 years ago, before there was a World Wide Web that we all surf today. Innovation in 2021 and onward really looks a little different. We want to reimagine this work for the next generation, and that's going to mean that we need to really step it up in terms of our multimedia, in terms of the way that we train the church, the way that we resource, the way that materials are accessed. And so we're just going to need people who know how to do those things. We're going to need resources to engage those people. We have the vision. We have the story. The story hasn't changed. But we really need partners to come alongside with us and help us to get there, to take it to the next level.
Every single penny is important. We want people to give out of their sharing of our vision and mission. We want children to be a part of their local worshiping community. So there is much to look forward to as the ministry of Scripture Union USA is developed in the years to come.
Okay. Thank you, Wayne, for playing that. as you can see, they're meeting children where they are. They're meeting them in the way that will get their attention. So far, we have collected $150 toward this mission, and we're hoping that maybe we'll get a little more before the end of the month. And looking forward to September, we're going to be looking at the school in Haiti that Ken and I have been involved with. The good news is that we were spared the earthquake. We're on the south coast, but we're far enough east that we didn't get the devastation, and we pray for the people who did. It's just really awful. But anyway, that's what we'll be doing. So thank you for your donations, and we look forward to telling you about the school.
Thank you very much, Martha. This is the time that we share announcements. The only one that I have is that Kathy is back from her vacation. So you all received your normal weekly service email, not Wayne's version of it. And that is all I have. If anyone else has an announcement, please unmute yourself and go ahead and share. Okay, seeing none, Pastor Glenn, why don't you, Dave, why don't you introduce your song? Sorry.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. We're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. And if you go down to the chat section, it is posted down there. And it's two verses. And it is also number 140 in the hymnal, if you have a hymnal. Number 140. Two verses of Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Everybody, it's time for our celebrations and concerns. Does anybody have any celebrations this week? No celebrations.
Wow. Well, how about we celebrate that Reverend Carroll didn't make it back from the Caribbean before any of the any of the storms got her, interfered with her. So she's back snug as a bug in her apartment.
Well, she said she only felt like one little wave. that was the extent of it.
Okay. I have to confess.
Oh, no.
My 46th wedding anniversary is this week.
Wow. The child bride.
You betcha.
Congratulations.
Must have been like 13.
Wayne. Thank you.
Yeah, she was three, yes. Because she keeps celebrating her 49th birthday.
My 39th.
Oh, sorry. My bad. I'm moving back.
Now I do have the list of concerns that we shared last week to share, but are there any new ones that have come up since last week? Is anybody in the hospital or anything like that that we know of? No, that's good. We do have Hurricane Henry, Afghanistan, and we still have Haiti on our list as well. Those are big concerns. So let's pray. God, we do thank you that Reverend Carol made it home safely and only felt a little wave of the storm as it passed. We do thank you for Jan and celebrating her 46th wedding anniversary. That's a blessing. For all those who may have celebrated birthdays this month, we also celebrate that. We do have a long list of concerns. For Sue Winship, as her progress is slow at this point, just to continue prayers for her. For Tom, for Cher, for Marge, Jennifer, Len, Lee, Marie, Tyler, Brigitte, Linda, Ben, Ron, Loretta, and AJ, also Ed and Janet, and those in the nursing homes and assisted living, Jackie, Carolyn, Doris, and Bob. Also continued prayer for Matt. And God, we do pray for all those affected by the turmoil in Afghanistan, the lives that have been lost and the families that have been torn apart. We pray that there would be some intervention to save the people who are still at risk. We pray that there could be some type of intervention. I pray that your divine purposes will be met in all that. I also pray for those who are affected by Hurricane Henry. It seems like we won't be affected that greatly, but for those who have been hit hard by that, and also for those in Haiti who are still recovering from the earthquake there, I pray that they get the support that they need. I also pray for concerns that haven't been raised and for those who couldn't join us today for worship. In case there are concerns there that we don't know about, but you know them, I pray that you'd provide for them in special ways. I pray that also you'd uplift each of them by your spirit. I thank you for the opportunity to worship you. Some churches, due to the storm, have not been able to meet today, but we have this opportunity to meet together, which is a blessing. We pray that you would continue to be a part of each one of our lives and that we would share just your word and your story to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day. Or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
scripture lesson today, we will continue reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, written from a jail cell in Rome. I will be reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Please hear these words. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Found that Paul at the end of the text kind of gave us some understanding of the battle that we are to face. I thought Paul would be the strongest one of his faith, because a lot of books of the Bible are written by Paul. But as it closes, he asks for strength, for power to battle fear that he is feeling. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but people had said that Paul, face-to-face, was nothing like who he was in his letters. He was not as bold face-to-face. And I think there was at one point he was delivering a sermon and someone fell asleep. So I feel a little better in my faith, and I feel a little better about things in terms of having trouble once in a while, because Paul had the same issues. He was afraid, and he needed to put on that same armor that he's asking us to put on. Now, in our day, we don't have centurions, and we don't have guards around us. Maybe in airports, they have things that might be similar in terms of, you might have a bulletproof vest. I don't know if they wear helmets and things like that to defend things, but they do put on some kind of protection. Well, Paul is asking us to put on full protection, and it's amazing how much of the body it covers, but he's using that coverage to cover our flesh and blood in order to illustrate the point about protecting our spirit. To protect our mind, to protect our soul, to protect the faith that's growing in us. And so I thought it was interesting that he uses these things, and you can almost see as it covers you up, like you may not put it on in this order, but a belt of truth, you put on your belt right in the morning, and it's right around your waist. It covers your whole midsection, okay? And it's truth. If you thought about these things as you put your clothes on during the day. Okay, now I am going to wrap myself in the truth of God's word. I am going to wrap myself in speaking the truth and love to my neighbor. You might do things differently during your day. Now, if we visualize the breastplate, let's say that's just putting your shirt on during the day. It covers you from your neck all the way down to your belt, right? It covers everything all the way around. And I think in a very kind of like an implicit way, he's talking about covering our heart. Now, that's something you can't, it's not tangible. You can't grab hold of your heart and protecting your heart. I mean, you can talk about it physically with the armor, but your heart can be influenced by many things. It can be influenced by these things of evil that he's talking about. Or in last week, we talked about that darkness that kind of infiltrates us and kind of surrounds us and wants to snuff out the light of God's hope and God's spirit. So, okay, so we've got the shirt on, we've got the belt on, which covers all of that. The shield of faith. Now, the shield of faith, that would be something that you have in front of you, and even before it can reach you, it's extinguishing these flaming arrows that tend to attack us. I don't know if anybody saw the movie Wonder Woman. the most recent one, she would use that a shield, and she had all the equipment, right? She had the shoes, she had the thing that covered her chest. She had, and so by visualizing that to protect our heart, to protect the things that we allow into ourselves. That's what Paul is talking about, the things that kind of can get in there and work on us in such a way that they ruin us. Now then, the helmet of salvation, it's like a reminder. You can put on your baseball cap and remind yourself of the salvation that you have received when you first accepted Christ. That is there. But I think it says a little more than that, because that is where your brain is. And that's kind of a physical entity, right? As opposed to your mind, which is kind of what controls everything we do. And I think the control of our mind, we don't want our mind to go in directions that are at odds with being children of the light, with going after the dark things in our lives instead. So again, you put the hat on. That's the reminder of your salvation, but it's also protection, right? They put on that helmet as protection. And I've seen certain things I have, like on my phone and Facebook, I have all these things that have to do with archaeology and those type of things. And a lot of times it would show that the helmet had like a ding in it from a sword, like coming right at it, right at the person. And it stopped the blade, like that attempt to like cut the person down. There it is. It shows that served as protection. Now also there's the sword of the spirit. So that's kind of an active thing that we do. The shield kind of is, it's active, but in a way it's kind of passive, because you're just, the arrows come and they stick in there, okay? You kind of fended it off at the source, and it won't touch you. But the sword of the spirit, you are actively battling something that's coming at you. And it says that sword is the word of God. So every single day, we need to be in the Word in order to kind of battle those things that continually come at us. Because I think Paul is talking about this because it's not something that's a once in a lifetime type situation. And even in his own life, I think he battled with being forceful enough in his faith to preach, and also being able to do the things that he thought God wanted him to do rather than what his flesh wanted him to do. Because in one portion of scripture, he says, I know the thing that it is that I need to do, but I do the exact opposite. And I'm paraphrasing there some, but I think you know what I mean. Like the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We all know that. Now, one of the big things that I think sometimes we miss in this as part of the armor of God, and it's kind of one of those things you do in advance of all this, and Paul put it at the end of this passage, is to pray. Like, pray in all circumstances. Pray for those around you. Pray for yourself. Pray for those in leadership. It's like, pray all the time. It's like putting a force field or a barrier around yourself that protects you from what's coming at you. And I think sometimes we forget to do that. Some people use prayer, it's kind of as the last result, or they say, oh, I could only pray for them. Well, I have to tell you that the prayer is the main thing that you need to do, because God intervenes when we pray. And I think Paul notes that here, that that is a major way to win the battle that he's talking about. So how different would it be if you, I'm not going to ask you to imagine yourself putting on armor every day, but what would it be if you imagined, if you putting on your clothes every day and imagine doing this? And then in the same way, also include prayer and include, there's one that I forgot, the shoes. It doesn't say what kind of shoes they are. It says feet fitted for readiness and sharing the gospel. Now, in that day, it was sandals. So I don't know how much protection that would give your feet themselves to put on sandals. But it's indicative of something that we prepare ourselves to do. Like, we are ready to share what we know about God, that we're ready to share what we know about Jesus and share it with others, so that may lend them the same protection that we have because we put on all these things. So you put on your hat, you put on the shirt, you put on your belt, you put on the shoes, the shield, whatever you can find that you could imagine as a shield. And then prayer and the Bible. Now, I don't know about you, but I carry my Bible. I have one translation on my phone. So if something comes to mind, it's like I can look it up. You can even choose the word or the phrase, and it'll take you right to the scripture that you're looking for. So if you're kind of in the middle of, you have fears that kind of won't let go of you, you look for the text that kind of has been brought to your memory, and you can work through it with that. Or you can ask a friend to pray for you. How often do you ask people to pray for you? I know it seems like you're maybe putting somebody out to do that, but I have like two or three friends that I will text and say, I really need prayer on this, or this is really I'm having a hard time with this. And then they almost immediately get back to me. And in a like way, they do the same to me. Like, I'm having a hard time with such and so. So to find people who you can do that with, to share your concerns, to share the needs, to share those things that are kind of really pressing at that moment. And that's kind of the one good thing that I see about technology, is like instantaneous. It's like you don't have to wait until Sunday morning and say, ugh, it's like I'm struggling with this. It's right there. You have other Christian friends, you ask for prayer, and they can do it right away. So I think that's a good thing to do. So I think Paul's model of just sharing the fact that he was afraid at times, that he didn't always do the things that he wanted to do, are kind of an encouragement for us to follow through, not to let ourselves think that that's a failure and we can't progress, that we can't proceed, that we can't return. Because Paul, he called himself at one point the worst of sinners because he was one of the ones who persecuted Christ and actually killed followers of Christ or had them killed for their beliefs. So I think his model that he could be saved, he could come to faith, that he could then share all the power of God with other people and have them come to faith. It's just kind of an amazing story. And I think it's something that can lift us up. And I think if we use this model to just put on the things that Christ would have us put on, I think we wouldn't have the struggles that we constantly have all the time. Amen. Let your light so shine before all that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That concludes our service for today. Thanks all to who joined us. You are certainly welcome to hang around for our virtual coffee hour. If the storm turns into anything, please stay safe. And we will see you next week.